spend a few minutes remembering. So I have a few questions for you. Tell me if you remember where you were when the following things happened. Some of you may have not have been alive then. That's okay. So, was anybody alive when Pearl Harbor was bombed? And do you remember where you were? Those three of you who were in the room. Do you remember where you were when it was bombed? Do you remember hearing, do you remember when you first heard it? That's no excuse, man. No excuse. All right. How about when World War II ended? You were alive for that part, too. Do you remember when that happened? It was a big deal. Some of us weren't alive then. How about walking on the moon, man walking on the moon? Who remembers that? Do you remember sitting down in their living room and watching it? Only Kathleen watched it. How dare them walk on the moon on Sunday? So seriously, you didn't, because you went to church instead of watching the walk on the moon. Crazy Christians. All right, how about this? Who remembers where they were when JFK was shot? A little few more of us? Whatever. Some of you guys are running back there raising your hand when you're alive. Okay, so everybody remember where they were? Who was in like school? It came over the loudspeaker. Remember that? I don't. I wasn't alive. But it came over the loudspeaker. Okay. Who was alive and remembers when Nixon resigned as president? I was 17 days shy of my second birthday, so I don't remember it. And my little sister was just born, so I was probably bitter about that. Who remembers the 1986 shuttle blowing up? Now, I was in school for that. I do remember that. And they all brought us to this place, and we had to watch the news report and all that kind of stuff. And then one I think all of us remember where they were on September 11th, right? We can all remember that when we all have a shared experience with September 11th. And if you actually go to the internet and actually Google the words remembrance or Remembrance Day, you'll get a wide range of days and things that people remember. And some of them are appropriate and some of them are not. And so we tend to remember things that are tragic and or monumental in our lives. When I was at Texas A&M, we had every year a thing called Aggie Muster. And I'll read you the campusology because I'm a horrible cadet and I don't remember it. But it says, on April 21st each year, on the anniversary of the Battle of San Jacinto, Aggies gather together, wherever they are, to commemorate fellow Aggies who have died during the year. The tradition was begun 21 April 1903. Philip, did you remember that? I cannot believe you're a horrible cadet. You're so much closer to it than I am. So every year we would gather around this flagpole and quietly in the distance, in the dark, or is that, that might have been just, I don't remember. Anyway, these guys would be walking along in silent cadence. Have you ever seen anybody do something called silent cadence? You know when cadence is left, left, left. You know, they tell you when to take your step because for some reason you can't remember when to walk. So they tell you when to walk. Well, the silence cadence is when they're walking in step together and they're not saying when to step. So they quietly and silently walk in step together. These 21, or I guess it was, yeah, 21 guys would walk up quietly, and then they would, in the middle of the dark, you'd be standing there at attention, if you were a cadet anyway, and then all of a sudden they would shoot a 21-gun salute in total silence. So you don't know when it's coming. You just know they're about to shoot the guns, you know, three times, seven guys three times, you know, boom, boom, boom. It scares the snot out of you. You don't know. It's really, really, really quite memorable. So we would remember there every year we would go and do this, at least when I was there. I'm sure they still do it now. So this idea of remembering, we've taken time to remember. Jesus tells us to do the same thing. If you look in your Bibles at Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Just one verse. Now, Jesus is in the upper room having dinner, his last meal with his disciples, before he is arrested and then ultimately crucified and then resurrected. Verse 19, and he took bread, giving thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. So I was reading for this, and I found this thing by written by a man last name of Barclay. I want to read what he says. And this is, I think, very poignant to why we do what we do when we try to remember things. It says, Jesus said, do this, and it will make you remember me. That was his interpretation of how the verse goes. Jesus knows how easily the human mind forgets. The Greeks had an adjective which they used to describe time. Time, they said, which wipes all things out, as if the mind of man were a slate, and time a sponge, which wiped it clean. Jesus was saying, in the rush and press of things you will forget me. Man forgets because he must, and not because he will. Come in sometime in the peace and stillness of my house, and do this again with my people, and you will remember. So this idea that just naturally over time, we forget things. So we put things on the calendar. We mark days. We remember why we celebrate certain things. And so that's what I wanted to do today. Last year I talked about completion error. Completion error is when you forget to undo the things that you did to get to a certain point. So you go make a copy and you forget to take off the page off the top because you forget that that's what you did to begin the copy. Now naturally you don't want to leave the original there, so you just forget and you leave it. It's when you leave your ATM card in the ATM machine and you walk away even though it's screaming at you. And you just leave it there, and then it gets pulled in and gets shredded, and you have to order you a new one, which is annoying. Or you forget to take the keys out of your car, and then you shut the door. 5 milliseconds later, realizing your keys are in the inside, and it's locked. Nobody's ever done that, right? And then you just hope that your spouse or someone's at home at your house to bring you the spare key. Or maybe you have a key hidden away on the car somewhere. It's completion error, because we forget sometimes. And what Jesus is saying in this verse is there will be plenty of things going on in your life. Take time to remember. Because if you don't, you will forget why you're here. So that's why when you Google remembrance, you see so many different things people are remembering. So I'm going to take some time to remember some things this year from 2009. First thing I want to do is I want to remember those that we've lost. The first one person, this is the PowerPoint here, I want to remember is Marty. Marty is on the plane, I believe, is on his way to conference, I think, right? On his way to conference with all the kids that he could take to conference. Marty Haskins was committed to kids. He ran the camp for years and years and years. He was a youth director at this church for years. He worked with the kids in Stockton Church for years as well. And his commitment to kids and to youth was second to none. So we lost Marty this year. And then at the beginning of the year, we lost Evelyn. Evelyn is on the right-hand side of this picture sitting here with some ladies from the church. We lost Evelyn as well. And Evelyn loved those in need. She loved those who were people that needed help. I know that that Evelyn and Alice is in the middle picture there, had a relationship when they first got together in the church. Alice, we lost Alice this year as well. And Alice had a love for two people specifically that I know. Is Helen there? Betty, which is second from the left. And then the next picture you can see is Helen. Helen and Betty, we did not lose. They've moved to go and live in assisted living homes with near their families. But Alice loved these two ladies dearly, often calling Betty her mother. And Betty, Betty was a wonderful woman who would stand up at the age of 90 and walk next door to go see people constantly because she loved to care and for people. So those people we've lost this year, but not in a way that we want to remember them because of who they were and what they've done and how they've marked our lives. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand up and tell everybody in the room what you are thankful for. maybe specifically about those people that we talked about, but even greater than that, what happened in the past year that you want to remember, that maybe God has done in your life? And so a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to speak about them, you can, or you can speak about anything. So things I want to remember for 2009. Things I want to praise God for. The things I want to make sure that we don't forget, because it's important that we remember. The first one I want to talk about is our relationship we've built with the school. The school we just recently started, the national organization, the brethren organization, gave us some money to begin a relationship with the school down the street. And we just simply went down there and started serving. Just recently we went and helped with their coat drive. Very soon they're going to have a teacher appreciation week, which I believe is in May. And I want us to be a part of that. I want us down there giving them breakfast and saying thank you and putting up notes and doing things like that, so we can continue our relationship with them. Because it's important that we stay connected to our community. Next week we're going to be talking about 2010 and what's in store for us moving forward. And I think our role in our neighborhood, I'm increasingly becoming more passionate about this idea of our connection to our neighborhood. I know Manteca is bigger than 4 or 5 blocks around us, but we sit right here in a place that is, we're surrounded by everything. You could cut our section of town away and we would have a town. We have a grocery store. We have a Kmart or a Walmart or, whatever you want to call it. We have Taco Bell. We have our own schools. You could literally cut our section of town away, and that's our neighborhood. And our commitment, our connection with the school, I think is very important. I met the vice principal at our last service that we did down there with them, and she's completely excited about what we're doing. She's a believer, and she's excited that we want to be involved with the school. Just recently, I became a volunteer chaplain with the police department, but most specifically with the school resource officers. So I'm going to be the chaplain for Neil Halfley. So I'll be the chaplain, and I will get to, the whole goal of that is that the chaplain can somehow connect troubled kids with mentors and be able to connect them together. And that's my job, would be to be able to connect them. I wish right now we could just connect them to anybody that wanted to be a mentor. We can't yet because you have to actually be fingerprinted and make sure that you have to go through all the things. Right now we're only be able to connect them with people that's had that done. So if you work for an agency, say like the police department or the fire department or the school system, then you then would be eligible for that. You can't. They're still working on the system to get more people involved. But I'm excited about that. But our school, our neighborhood, is very important. We need to begin to figure out how we continually grow in our relationship with our neighbors. Second thing I am personally thankful for 2009 is my trip to the Philippines. Because it opened my eyes to the world. I've been out of the United States only about that far. I've been to Mexico, and I literally walked over the river and then walked back. That's how far out of America I've been. So it wasn't that far. Obviously, that was in 2001. But I walked over the river, and I walked back. But when I went to the Philippines, it opened my eyes to what the rest of the world is like. In reality, that we live in a society, even in poverty in America, is wealthy in other parts of the world. I will not be the same. Something else I'm thankful for is our ability to that God pulled us out of the financial crisis we were in our own church. Now, I know the world, America and the world is in financial crisis, but we had our own version of that in our church. And in June, we talked about that openly and candidly in front of everybody. And God touched hearts. And God changed that situation. We went from being in debt several thousands of dollars to that end of the year this year, we're going to end with $9,000 in the bank. To be several thousand dollars in the hole to having $9,000 in the bank is huge. It's huge. And so when people talk about a little churches and we're not a big church and how we can have impact, that's impactful. When God begins to change the way we look at our finances, how He sees, you see your own finances, the things that you have, and then how we see our finances as a church, how we can use our resources and steward them wisely, that's a big deal. We begin to see the world differently because we don't look at ourselves only. We go, well, this is only for me and what I have is for me and I can't help anybody else. So hopefully moving forward from here, we can change the way we resource our own finances in our church. And so instead of just hoping we can stay afloat, we can actually begin to be giving money away to people who need it. Begin to fund things that we currently couldn't fund before. A great example of that is church planting. That's the next thing I'm excited about, is the fact that we were able to help plant the Cambodian church in Stockton. That's a big deal for our church. If you haven't been around here before, church planting is painful for our church. It happened back in the 90s, and it bit a lot of people in the rear end. Some of you are those people. Because of bad leadership, people that were not healthy, should not have been leading. The next thing you know, there was fallout all over the place. Pastors leaving. People leaving the church. Never coming back again because they were angry. And we planted a church. We didn't allow that to hurt. That means that we need to be excited again when we plant the next church. And maybe the next one would require that you, maybe some of us leave. This one did not cause us to leave, right? I mean, the Cambodians are in Stockton, not a big population of Cambodians in Manteca, so whew, I didn't have to go anywhere. But maybe the next one will. Maybe God is calling us to do that. I know He is. To continue to grow. Continue to plant. Maybe this idea of neighborhood churches catches on. And instead of us drawing people from your neighborhood because you live across town, maybe we plant a church over there. To have a neighborhood church over there with a school and a store and a grocery store. And all of that begins to change. And a couple of things I'm excited about personally for myself. The first one is my son Patrick. Patrick moved in with us in September. And he's a joy to have. And we're very excited that we can have Patrick in our lives. And I think the reason why 2009 was very impactful for me in that area was because in 2008 was very painful when it came to children in our lives. We had two children, and the social system took them and put them with their grandparents. And I'm not dogging the social system. We're working with the social system. But it's very painful for that. And for me, it opened up my understanding of not just my kids, but just everything that I have. That everything I own does not belong to me, including my children. That I have to actually hold on to Patrick with an open hand. That there's a day that very well could take him away and move him back with his parents. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not going to be doing a dance if it happens. I promise you that. But I see it differently. That not only did it change the way I view him, but it changed the way I view all of my things. That Maggie is even not really mine, even though she's my blood. That maybe one day she'll grow up and do something that maybe I really didn't have in mind for her, but God did. And I have to be okay with that. That I open up my heart to what God has for my world and not just what I have. And in this last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, Maggie gave her life to Christ. She stopped her mom on the street one day, driving down the street, and she said, "Mom, I want to know what it means to, you know, ask Jesus into my heart." So Beth stopped the car and pulled over and prayed with Maggie. And then she, after the prayer, said, "Mom, I always knew that," which is fine with me, because that's all she's ever known. But I'm also excited that Ronnie Reed gave his life to Christ as well about 2 or 3 months ago. He and I have been talking. We talked about that, and then where he's going to be a part of our foundations class and hopefully to be baptized soon. And that's what we should be excited about, is adding to the kingdom of God. But all those other things are important. The relationship with the school, my trip to the Philippines was important, our recovery financially, planning another church, all those things are important. But ultimately, all those things should lead to significant conversations with people about faith. And that hopefully we can be instrumental in their belief in Christ. It's not our job to be the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's not our job to have God come into their life. Our job is simply to tell. And so hopefully moving forward, that will continue. So my question to you then is, in 2009, what do you want to praise God for? And I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. So if anybody wants to be brave and start, they're welcome to. If you want to take a few minutes to think about it, but there might be a long pauses of awkward silence, but I'm okay with those. So what do you want to praise God for in 2009? Doesn't matter what it is. Ready? Go. In 2010 will mark the 90th year of our existence. 90. 90th year of our tribe, our group, our congregation, whatever words you want to put on it. September 19th will be our anniversary. We will celebrate that day. But not just for the 90 years that had happened in the past, but also for the hope that we have for the coming years. So what will people remember about us if we were to get in a little time machine and move forward? If we could enter into conversations with people who live around this place? What would they say about us, about Northgate, about the people that attend church here, who call this place home? Will their lives have been impacted? Will there be changed people because of our position on this corner? I hope so. That's my prayer for us. So next week we're going to talk about the year moving forward. So please come and listen and hopefully engage in what God has for us in 2010. But I want to pray for us now. Our worship team is going to come and we're going to close the service. We're going to sing a song talking about God in our community, our city. It's called God of the City. And how there's still things to do. Remembering is good. But I don't think Jesus called his disciples together and told them to remember just so that they could have a fuzzy memory, a warm heart, and feel good about that. Remembering is a good thing. But I think Jesus told them to come together to remember, to spark movement forward. To let them remember that we're together for a reason. Not just remember the good old times and the funny things that someone said back then, or, hey, you remember this whenever so-and-so did that. Those are good things. But they should move us and spark us on forward. and love and good deeds, as the Scripture says. So that's what I hope 2010 will be for us moving forward. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much.